question.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. You've heard of the major lake effect snowstorm that hit downwind areas of the Great Lakes, Erie, and Ontario, while Orchard Park, New York, just south of Buffalo, had over 77 inches of snow. That's taller than most people stand. The good news is that this event ends tonight with a change in wind direction, and the outlook for Thanksgiving is thankfully warmer. Sunny, no more wind chills in the 20s, daytime highs approaching 50 in areas that are not snow-covered. Meanwhile, thunderstorms in South Florida with rain in the Gulf coastal states. Otherwise, tranquil weather for pre-Thanksgiving travel. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser with weather reports at 6 and 36 past every hour only on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Playboy model, cemetery, Halloween. What could go wrong? Strippers on the loose later. Sterling at night.
Coming up on Florida Stories, three big idiots, two fake Nazis, and one handsome host. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of an unpredictable desk lieutenant nicknamed Jack the Whack, who ran the precinct desk with an iron fist. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Black Friday shopping tips. Avoid punches. Later, people of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Would you eat, actually, for a meal, lab-grown chicken?
I would not. That's disgusting.
In for Walter Sterling, that is my wife, Becky Gaffney. I am Dan Gaffney. The number, 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Could you look up the numbers of what WALT is?
WALT is 9258. How do you not know that?
Well, I don't have my phone in front of me.
Didn't you grow up with rotary phones?
Yeah.
You don't remember? You
Pennsylvania, 650. It's 888-688-WALT.
Or 9258.
888-6. I'm giving the number multiple times and slowly.
Okay.
As if to indicate I really do want people to call. 888-688-9258. So, we are live from the sewing room here at the Dan and Becky Gaffney Complex. Literally the sewing room. Would you like to explain what the room looks like for
it
the
looks
audience?
Like I've been sewing in this room. I'm staring at yarn and fabric, and it's my sewing room. It's where I work.
Very exciting. There's a tortoise.
It is exciting.
There's a tortoise. The kid's tortoise is in the
He lives here. He keeps me company while I work.
Keep it down over there, Torty. We're on the radio from the sewing room.
He'll actually be quiet because it's past his bedtime now, so we're good.
Also, let me address something else before we get into the lab-grown chicken. Let me address the fact that this is like the sick center as well, the sickness center. I mean, we've got tissues here, lozenges, cough drops, tea. What do you got over there?
Roll of toilet paper, actually, because the kids used all the tissues, and that's all I've got left. But, you know, it's going to get me through.
Right. Are you the only, are we the only family that uses toilet paper for facial tissue?
Okay, when you have a bunch of kids, and one kid gets sick, then the next kid's going to get sick, and you're going to have five, six kids before you know it, and then you'll get it because the kids are sleeping on your head because they need you, and you run out of everything.
It's been, you know.
It happens.
It's been a week here. It has been a week. So if you hear some sort of sneeze, a cough, some sort of nasty hack, I apologize. Nationwide, I apologize. In advance. From what you might hear.
It's kind of disgusting, but we've got to get through. So
it's great to be here. It's great to be heard all across the country on great radio stations. And it is awesome to ask you this question about lab-grown chicken. This week in the news, the FDA approved, gave the initial safety clearance to the process.
Do you trust that?
Well, no. Okay. But they did give the U.S. FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, gave the okay to the process to a company that makes lab-grown chicken. Maybe you've heard of medical advancements where they can grow skin or tissues in the lab from the cells of a human being. This is the same thing. They take the cells of a chicken and then they grow it into, I'm laughing just thinking about it, edible meat, allegedly.
That's just nasty.
They're not vegan. They're not vegetarian or plant-based. The company president says, quote, they are real meat made without the animal. It was a historic announcement in the United States that this tech startup, California-based Upside Foods, makes meat from cultured chicken cells. Now, I pictured this to be like a juicy chicken breast.
Oh, right? I picture just like a slab of skin laying there. Like, ugh.
They do grow it in sheets.
Oh,
I did read about it.
What? A sheet of chicken. You're going to eat a sheet of chicken?
Yeah, I did a little deep dive. And that's how they grow it. They grow it in sheets. And you're saying, what's the purpose? Well, according to them, their purpose is to prevent the slaughter and farming of chickens, the farming and the slaughter
on
of chickens,
Earth.
To save the environment, okay?
That's going to save the environment?
Yeah, because
sheets of chicken.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. you can, in their mind, you can take one chicken, get the cells out of it, and then just make thousands of chickens grow the meat.
You can take one chicken and it'll lay thousands of eggs. And
yeah, but
you can
then
get
you have
thousands
to slaughter
of chickens,
a thousand chickens.
And then you get more eggs and more chickens. And that's kind of how nature works.
I understand.
You know, like that's what we're supposed to be doing.
I'm
eating
tracking
the eggs
with you.
And the chickens. Okay, I'm just saying.
I'm tracking with you. I would not eat
no.
lab-grown chicken. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to be the first to answer the question. What do you think? 888-688-9258. That's 888-688-WALT.
So,
Dan and Becky Gaffney in for Walter M. Sterling.
I'm just going to ask, if it's not vegan, how is it not vegan if it's not an animal? But it is an animal, but it's meat, but it's not. So, I mean, what are they trying to do? Yeah, I get the idea.
Cultured,
but
they call it cultured meat. Think of it this way, according to the company. Think of it this way. It's like beer making. But instead of growing yeast, you're growing animal cells.
When I'm growing yeast to make bread in the bowl, you know, that's not, I can't equate that to growing meat from a chicken.
This is the future, according to climate change people, that, you know, they were killing the planet. They want to stop farming. So supposedly this is the future, lab-grown meat.
So do we just kill chickens as they reproduce then and not eat them? We just kill all the chickens?
You're just going to stop.
There are going to be no more chickens. We're going to kill all the chickens and just keep the cells. So what good does that do us if we're slaughtering all the chickens anyway?
Stop farming.
Does this make sense?
The way I see it, there are two visions of the future without farming, okay, that the climate change people believe in.
Okay.
One is you eat lab-grown meat like this. The other one is you eat bugs.
I think there's a third.
Insects, grubs, mealworms, things of this nature.
Mm-hmm.
So which would you rather eat? How about this? Which would you rather eat, bugs or lab-grown chicken?
So do you know that you eat bugs a lot of times anyway and don't really know it? Because, I mean, let's just talk about, like candy-coated shells and cookies from certain establishments that you go to all the time are made from bug shells, and we eat them. We eat bugs.
Look, dear.
What?
There's a difference between eating a bug accidentally or
no, I'm talking about bugs that are put into food that we're eating, that you're eating. And if you knew what was in your food anyway and you paid attention, you would know you're eating bugs. If you're eating like red candy shells, that's a ladybug. All ground up and you're chomping on it.
Would you eat lab-grown chicken. 888-688-WALT. This is the Sterling on Sunday program. It's great to be with you. We have coming up after 10:30. Let me just, before we take calls or whatever, let us go to the fact that a gentleman who was on the show last week from North Pole, Alaska, will be giving us an update on the tickets he received from the local Grinchy police tickets. They gave him violations for having Christmas lights on his car in North Pole, Alaska. So Keith from North Pole, Alaska, the DoorDash driver, has a very important update for those who listened to the Sterling on Sunday show last week. He'll be coming up after the bottom of the hour.
Can't wait to hear about that one.
Yes. I'm Dan Gaffney with Becky Gaffney, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
800-844-0876. Right now, there's a live human being at that phone number who is anxious and ready to talk to you. 800-844-0876. Pick up the phone and call them. Well, who are they? They want to talk to you about Giza Dream Sheets. The reason I love Giza Dream Sheets for my pillow, when I slip into my bed and I'm covered and surrounded by Giza Dream Sheets, it's as though I'm in a five-star hotel, one of those great hotels where the beds are made perfectly and the linen is always fresh. Well, now that's your home. And if you have guests coming over for the holidays, you want them to have that sensation so they know you're a quality person, that they know it's a privilege to be in your house. Because when they slip into the Giza Dream Sheets to go to sleep, they'll go, wow, this is amazing. It's made with the world's best cotton called Giza, grown only in a region between the Sahara Desert and the Mediterranean Sea and the Nile River. It's like an episode of Ancient Aliens. This has long been the staple cotton that makes ultra-soft and breathable sheets. Available in multiple colors, styles, and sizes. And you can get flannel. Flannel Giza Dream Sheets. 800-844-0876. Get the information. Oh, did I mention the price? They're as low as 20. I'm sorry, that's the most important thing. They're as low as $29.98. $29.98 if you say Walter. You gotta say Walter. Say Walter, and the price drops by at least $50 to $29.98. $29.98. Here's the phone number, 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. My Pillow Giza Dream Sheets.
Sterling on Sunday.
It's time. During the pandemic, you promised yourself that you would never work for anybody else again. And then you started to drag yourself back to work, and now you're in the humdum of working for somebody else. And frankly, you're making a mistake. There's a franchise business called Social Indoor. Social Indoor. Find out about it at socialindoor.com. Get the formal prospectus at socialindoor.com that will install in your territory beautiful computer screens, high-definition computer screens in the restrooms in your community, the finest restrooms. And then you go out and you sell advertising on those computer screens to your friends, your neighbors, businesses in your area. And it's your business. Socialindoor.com. It's very important that you enter my name, Walter, so they send you all the information. Socialindoor.com.
Lab-grown chicken is off the menu for Thanksgiving at the Dan and Becky Gaffney household.
Yeah, I think turkey might be off the menu, too. I'm not really sure I'm feeling that this year.
People do ask. We have 8 kids. I have to address something.
Okay.
That was incorrect on the Walter Sterling promo for his show. If I could play the audio of it. May I? He mentioned that we had 10 kids. Does he know something I don't know?
I think he was mentioning 10 kids because he knows that I have to take care of you and my father, and technically that means I have 10 kids.
I see.
I think that's what he meant.
Let's listen to the way Walter Sterling promoted the show, the fact that we were going to be here. Here we go.
Sterling on Sunday, this Sunday night, reveals the hard facts about being the parents of 10 kids, plus living with those 10 kids in a 150-year-old house in a really boring state. Delaware. Ugh. This Sunday night. Sterling on Sunday.
Well, he was right about that.
That's the best part of the promo. Do you think he was trying to say that because it's a really boring state, we have 10 kids?
That might be.
I think maybe that's what he was trying to indicate there.
For a time.
For a time. All right. Moving on.
The Thanksgiving holiday is coming, and a lot of people wonder what we do for Thanksgiving. Hopefully, as little as possible.
Yes.
Meaning no hype or major, what do you say, planned event?
Yeah, I guess. No, I'd have to decorate the church on Thanksgiving.
Well,
I have to go in and do that. So there's not, I don't want to be cooking all day and then do that. I'm happy about it being a marked celebration and something that we, do with our kids and that we're giving thanks and they know that and we do it in different ways, but I don't think we have to cook.
Right.
For 16 days to feed them for 5 minutes.
I have a turkey breast only, not the full turkey this year. Turkey breast. We'll do some mac and cheese, maybe some green bean casserole.
Yeah, green bean casserole.
Throw some sweet potatoes in there. And
a couple of pumpkins, maybe.
The child, Thomas, will make the pie.
Yes, Thomas is our pie maker. He always has been.
That's a simple, to us, that's an everyday kind of an occurrence.
Yeah, I mean, we cook every day, three meals a day, so it's not like, not really a big deal, but not like a whole smorgasbord of, squash and casseroles.
My favorite Thanksgiving in my life, when I was young, it was always we went to relatives' house for a big meal. Mm-hmm. We always got together, the sister and the nieces and all the uncles and the in-laws and the outlaws were all together. And some years we would go to their house, other years it would come to our house. It was a big affair, right? Every year. And when I was a teenager, my parents decided they're going to move to Florida. We lived in Ohio. They're going to move to Florida. I didn't want to move to Florida. They had an auction, auctioned off everything in our house, sold the house, auctioned everything off in the house. And the timing was such that there was no furniture in the house, no table, nothing. Was left. It was an empty house, but we were still there because they were not leaving yet. And it was Thanksgiving. So we had two folding chairs and a couple of boxes on Thanksgiving morning. Okay. And I don't think my parents really thought about it, but as a kid, I was used to these big celebrations and they realized, it's Thanksgiving. And we're probably letting Danny over here down,
And then they were leaving and going to Florida, and you stayed in Ohio. So
another story. So why was this my favorite Thanksgiving? My father decides to go to the only place. Everything used to be closed on Thanksgiving where I was from, except the bars. And he went to a bar called Atomic Cafe. All right. It was called the Atomic Cafe. Real dive, blue collar, hardcore bar, dark, regulars sitting in there. I know because he used to take me. So he went to the Atomic Cafe on Thanksgiving morning and they made him turkey subs. Or hoagies or heroes, whatever part of the country you're from.
Right.
We call them subs, right?
Grinders.
Grinders, whatever. So that's what they had because they could make sandwiches. Brought them back to the house, my mother, my father, me, sitting in an empty house on, the card table deal or the boxes, eating subs from the bar.
Okay.
And that ended up to be my favorite Thanksgiving because that's when I realized that I don't need all of the hype and everything. And this was just a wonderful time spent with my parents. We made the best of a whatever situation, and it was great.
And I have always thought, having heard that story before, that you were a much younger child and you guys just decided that you weren't going to do all the hullabaloo and you were going to get the subs and celebrate that way. Now I know the rest of the story, because I was not really aware that everyone was moving and it was that kind of a big deal. And so we've talked about that many times and tried to kind of scale down and not do the big unnecessary stuff to celebrate, but still celebrate.
Right.
I mean, it's not that it's not unnecessary. For a lot of people, it is. It's the celebration, and that's part of the joy. And whatever you enjoy, do that. But I'm wanting cereal this year.
Is that what you want?
I think I do. Okay. I think I just want
cereal.
After the week we've had here with all the, you know, yeah, the yuck, like, right, you know, let's just sit on the floor and eat some cereal. We can take these two folding chairs we're sitting on, put some boxes out, and we can, you know, recreate.
All right. There you go. Hope your Thanksgiving is great, no matter what you plan on doing, as they say, right? And we're not going that scaled down this year. I think we're going to have a little bit more than the cereal.
I don't know. We'll see.
I do think that will happen.
All right.
All right. Coming up, we're going to get an update from Keith. We really hope to get Keith Fonz Sr. on the air from North Pole, Alaska. Last week, Sterling on Sunday listeners were treated to an incredible story about how this man, who's a DoorDash driver, received 5 tickets from the local police, for having Christmas lights on his car. I take it it's some ordinance in North Pole, Alaska. Maybe some of his Christmas lights were blue.
Blue and red,
blue and red, like an emergency situation, and they wanted to be hardcore about it.
Don't you think someplace called North Pole, Alaska, they would have a little bit of Christmas spirit, and it would kind of look like a Hallmark movie when you got there? Like, they would just take advantage of that and, you know, make it like all ho, 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 and everything candy canes?
He made the newspaper. He was on the front page of the paper in North Pole.
I wonder how hard it is to get on the front page of the paper in North Pole, Alaska. How many pages does that paper have?
Right. And so we'll be back and talk with Keith in just a moment. For Becky Gaffney, I'm Dan Gaffney. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Mr. Beast.
I just bought this house and I'm going to give it to Chandler.
Really?
No.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. From the interesting weather facts file, yesterday was the wettest day in Seattle weather records history. It has rained 95 years out of the last 128 years. That's roughly 74% record of rain on the 19th of February. Now, yesterday was dry, so is today and tomorrow, but rain coming up on Tuesday. The West as a whole is pretty dry, though. Clear skies will produce scattered frost through the Sacramento Valley overnight. Sunny days through Thanksgiving, though, with high temperatures into the 60s. Las Vegas a tad breezy at times, with highs also in the 60s. That's pretty normal for late fall. This is Dr. Dave Iser, meteorologist, for your weather reports at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Thanksgiving weekend, avoid the strip clubs. Warning coming, strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Coming up on Florida Stories, 3 big idiots, 2 fake Nazis, and 1 handsome host. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of an unpredictable desk lieutenant nicknamed Jack the Whack, who ran the precinct desk with an iron fist. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Black Friday shopping tips. Avoid punches. Later, people of Walmart, Sterling at night.
It was fascinating that a man in North Pole, Alaska, could make his living as a DoorDash driver. You may have heard him last week on Sterling on Sunday. He's back with us. Dan and Becky Gaffney filling in. Let's go to the North Pole. Well, not really the North Pole. North Pole, Alaska.
Right.
It's
like in a Hallmark movie.
Yes. Keith Fonz. Keith, very exciting. The police had written you several tickets. You were the center of media attention. And we're all waiting for an update.
So since last week, last Monday when I was on the air, the cops have backed off. They have not pulled me over for my lights at all this week. I found out that some local leaders are working behind the scene right now to try to get the statue reworded or get an exception for us and here in North Pole so we can have our Christmas lights. And because of everything that's gone on, it and the community support that came out, I decided that next year I'm going to take a run for our local city council to sit here and try to make a difference in our own community.
This, Keith, is a Christmas miracle. It's like a movie.
It is. I'm telling you, how could it be North Pole, Alaska, and not be like a Hallmark movie? It's got to end well for you. What kind of Christmas lights did you have on your car that seemed to be causing a problem?
Just your regular strand of lights from your local Walmart.
Like white lights?
I just plug in. No, multicolor, like purple and yellow and pink and green and your average Christmas lights.
You're going to end up running this town. You know that, Keith. You're going to be a... Are you running for, what did you say, council? Or you want to be like
for
a
city
mayor?
Council, a couple of seats come up. No. I want to start with city council, get my foot in the door, and then maybe one day mayor. But for now, I just want to get my foot in the door and do what I can. And I'm running on a project like we live where it gets like negative 50, 60s in the winter. And the kids, the youth here has nothing to do. And where Santa Claus lives, there's nothing for youth. So we're starting a project. A
team don't you guys have shovels? Can't the children shovel snow?
Oh, my word. Cut it out. Cut it
out. You want to shovel a negative 50?
No, he does not.
So we're starting a project to build a youth community center here. And that's the project that I'm going to be working on now. And well, people can go to my Facebook and they can follow me or friend me. And there's a link on there. We started a GoFundMe last night so that way we can build ourselves a youth community center for the children here.
Amazing, Keith. Well, a pretty cool deal. The five tickets, do you
six.
Think they're going to, or Ooh. Six, even though they haven't written you any more, but do you think those will be wiped off the books?
I have a feeling I'm going to go see the judge and with the publicity and with the local lawmakers that came out to support. I have a feeling that they'll disappear, but who knows? I didn't expect to get six tickets.
I cannot help but imagine when you say I'm going to go see the judge, the scene from Miracle on 34th Street,
right.
You know, like because it's North Pole, Alaska, and I've made this a Hallmark movie in my head.
Yeah.
And, you know, eventually you'll be the mayor of the town, like dressed as Santa with a top hat on, ringing
letters,
a bell.
Letters from all across the country.
Exactly. Will come flowing into you.
I already got the white beard going on, you know.
I'm telling
you,
this is what's
beard.
Happening.
Wow. It's all the Sterling on Sunday listeners will be writing letters in your, and they'll dump them onto the judge's desk and you'll be acquitted.
And you'll be free.
But I just want to get out there. People can go to my Facebook, Keith Fonz, and they can follow how this story plays out. And like I said, there's also a link on there for not just our local people, but anywhere in the country that wants to help get a youth center in North Pole, Alaska, where Santa's house is. They're more than welcome to go there, click on the link. And
Keith Fonz, and it's F-O-N-S, right? Not like Fonz
Correct.
On Happy Days, but F-O-N-S. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's a great update. Yep. Yeah, very great update in all seriousness. Good luck. I think that's great. If you can't fight City Hall, just join them and make change.
Make the change within.
There
that's
you
exactly.
Go.
I like it, Keith. You got the American spirit for sure, buddy. Have a great day and Merry Christmas early to you.
Yep, and you guys have a good Thanksgiving.
All right.
Thanks, Keith. You too.
What do you think of that?
I'm telling you, it's the way that I'm imagining this in my mind. And I'm just going to say, I'm also the woman that has never watched a Hallmark movie. I just want to put that out there that I have never watched a Hallmark
They're
movie.
They're writing it
but
right now.
But this is what I imagine. You know, like the way that you hear about these things happening, it's like usually woman goes back to her town and they fall in love or whatever. So somebody's going to come back, you know, and fall in love with the Fonz, and they'll put Christmas lights on their sleigh one day and ride off into the sunset because he'll really be Santa Claus in the end or something.
It's amazing.
That's what I see.
You can join our program tonight. Dan and Becky Gaffney filling in for Walter M. Sterling, 888-688-WALT. That's 888-688-9258. Don't forget to visit Walter's website for all sorts of exciting things, including a recap of each week's show, waltersterlingshow.com. That's waltersterlingshow.com.
Yeah, and I'm going to say one more time, go to Keith's Facebook. It's Keith Fonz, F-O-N-S, and friend him.
Sit on it.
So you can, now, you know, come on, we've already called him Santa Claus and the Fonz, but in all seriousness, go so that you can watch the progress of the children shoveling themselves out of the snow and building the community center there.
Speaking of snow, I don't know if you heard Dr. Dave, 77 inches of snow in a smaller town just south of Buffalo. 77 inches.
Yeah, so you had to ride up there this week. You rode up to Lake Ontario area, right on Lake Ontario, through
just before
snow.
The snow.
Yeah,
I only got a trace.
You did,
but the appointment I had ended before the big storm.
Right.
Thankfully, I'd still be there.
I know, and our daughter was with you and wanted to go to one store up there 10 minutes from where you were, and you were so afraid of the snow that
that's
you're like,
right.
Nope, not
we
doing it.
Get
in the car. We're leaving now.
That's the way it goes when I'm driving.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
This is Sterling on Sunday.
I'm Walter Sterling. A couple weeks ago, I told you about the fact that I'm terrible with money. Now, very few men will admit this. They'd admit that they can't read before they'd admit they're terrible with money, and nobody wants to admit that they have trouble reading. I'm terrible with money. I'm pretty good at making it, but once it arrives, oh my God, it's gone. It's vanished. Now, what I found was that my wife was nagging me about the fact that I haven't saved for retirement. My buddy, Jared Dillian, who's been on the show, he calls me up and he says, Walter, why are you having trouble with money? I told you what to do. And he wrote it up. He has created a free guide that can help us get started in any marketplace. Now, my wife will thank me. Thank God. All I had to do was go to jaredradio.com, jaredradio.com, J-A-R-E-D, jaredradio.com. What did I get? I got a free guide called How to Start Investing. It's simple. I go to jaredradio.com. Are you ready to start investing, but you aren't sure how? Well, I sure as hell wasn't. He makes it easy. You can download Jared Dillian's free guide, How to Start, jaredradio.com. That's all you got to do. You download the free guide, and there it is. No one's going to call you. No one's going to bug you, but you can tiptoe into saving the money you need to save so you're not sitting out there with just your Social Security and embarrassing your kids. JaredRadio.com. Get the information. Find out how to take, whether you get $2 a week or $200,000 a week, this will help you and me take care of the money, because you and I have been terrible at taking care of the money. Learn how to do it right. JaredRadio.com.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowitz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell the story of an unpredictable desk lieutenant who ran the 4 to 12 shifts with an iron fist. So in the early 90s, I was a rookie cop assigned to a South Bronx precinct. The place was loaded with colorful characters, but no one more colorful by a salty old-time lieutenant who we used to call as Jack the Whack. Jack the Whack was a former boxer. He was a middle-aged guy. He had forearms that looked like 2x4s. He was a no-nonsense guy, probably a Vietnam vet, and he had that 1,000-yard stare where he would look right through you. He was intimidating, even for another NYPD member. Jack DeWack did not pity fools gladly, and he did not like rookie cops. So when you come into an NYPD precinct with an arrest, you have to stop at the desk. You have to inform the desk officer of the charges, and the desk officer is going to hand you a piece of paper. You start filling it out with the defendant's information, and then you search the defendant in front of the desk. Well, Jack DeWack was a stickler for details, and if you came into the precinct with an arrest and you grabbed a sheet, you started filling it out, you started going through your perp's possessions, he would have a conniption. For imposing as a man as Jack DeWack was, he had a Minnie Mouse voice that didn't match his body, and when he would get upset, his high-pitched voice would get even higher. And there were several times when I'd be in the precinct with an arrest and I'd touch that movement sheet, or I'd put my hands in my perp's pockets and I'd hear, "Hey, kid, what did I tell you? Don't touch a damn thing until I tell you to." Now, as funny as Jack DeWack's high-pitched voice was, he was no joke, and prisoners found that out rather quickly. So sometimes you lock up drunks or unruly people, and they're in the arrest processing room, and they're not happy they're under arrest. I get it. But sometimes they voice their concerns more than others, or some guys just go bananas in the cells. And Jack DeWack had no patience for unruly prisoners. Jack DeWack would walk into the arrest processing room. He'd walk up to the cells, and with his finger, he would motion over for a perp to come over, and he'd say, "I'm not like the other guys. I'll kick your ass." And a couple of times the perp said, "What did you just say?" And he goes, "You heard me." And the prisoner would finally quiet down. One time I was in the station house, and there was a cop in front of the desk searching his prisoner. And when he took the handcuff off the bad guy to sign the movement sheet, the guy turned around and took a swing at the cop. Jack DeWack jumped over that desk like he was an army paratrooper and threw the guy on the floor and had the guy back in handcuffs before the guy knew what had hit him. After Jack DeWack asked the arresting officer if he was okay, he said, "Yeah." And he said, "Listen, I don't want to have to do your work for you. Make sure you keep an eye on your prisoner." As rough around the edges as Jack DeWack was, to the best of my knowledge, he never wrote a cop up for a command discipline or brought anybody up on charges. So they don't make guys like Jack DeWack anymore, and I just figured I'd share that story with you. So be sure to check out my new book, The NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos.
You know where they need a guy like Jack DeWack? Up there in North Pole, Alaska. He wouldn't have written a ticket
Maybe
to the...
Maybe it was Jack DeWack who wrote the ticket.
I don't think he would have written a ticket for Keith's Christmas lights. That's for sure. All right, they don't make them like old Jack DeWack anymore. Well, news over the weekend, sad news, terrible news. Again, another shooting. 22-year-old guy opens fire in Colorado Springs at a nightclub. Say it's a gay nightclub. Five people are dead, at least. 18 injured, I say at least, because we haven't received the latest update yet. But 18 were injured, some critical. So a nasty situation there. Police identified the gunman, Anderson Lee Aldrich. He's in custody. He's also being treated for injuries. No word on a motive. Everyone wonders what the motive is, you know, when you have a shooting at a gay nightclub. So... that's what's happening. Now, here's the part that I like about the story. There's not much to like, but there is a highlight. The police are saying at least two heroic people, they call them heroic people, confronted the gunman and stopped the shooting. And that's what I'd like to see. People intervening and fight or flight. These people were in the fight mode, probably. You don't know how you would react in a horrible crisis situation. I like to know that there are still people who will get involved and intervene and do something like this. You know, when you talk to police for real, they'll tell you, "Don't do this. Oh, it's not worth it. You know, let us handle it." But I think that we need more heroes. The police say we owe them a great debt of thanks. So it could be many more dead had these people not confronted the shooter at Club Q, it was called. All right? Very good. I don't like that story, but I do like seeing that there are still people that want to step up.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible to hear anything like that. And again, like you said, when they people tell you not to do anything, not to intervene, I think that, I mean, they're just those people who absolutely are fight people, not flight people. And everything in their being is gonna push them toward doing something and helping. And thank God for them.
All right. Quickly here. The next is choose your news. Choose your news.
Do I get to choose?
I will give you a choice.
Okay, great.
Would you like to hear about complaints on airplanes over men who are man-spreading?
You're going to mansplain man-spreading to
would
me?
You like, or would you like to hear about a new highest charting certified single in all of music history that happened this week? Which news story would you like to hear?
They're both terrible because I think I know who the second one is about and I don't really want to hear that. So let's go with manspreading.
All right. Complaints about manspreading. Airline travel on the rise. Emily Brinkman took photos of the man who... You know what manspreading is? Your legs spread apart.
Not putting your knees completely together.
Yeah, and this woman took a picture of some dude on the airplane she had to sit next to, and it went viral.
I definitely wasn't comfortable with getting touched.
How bad was the manspreading?
On a scale of 1 to 10, probably an 11. I had told him a couple times to just kind of give me some space. I think maybe just his mindset, he would kind of forget to keep pushing into his legs a little bit, and then they would kind of just spread out a little bit more over time.
Emily should take a Velcro strap with her just to hand to the guy next to her so he can Velcro his knees together for her convenience, I think.
Other women chimed in on social media, of course, with their own experiences.
Stop manspreading. Been on a plane a bunch of the last few weeks, and every single experience, there was some man next to me manspreading.
Are we assuming that he was a man? Because I see this is one situation where we're going to call it manspreading. Yeah. I'm not going to stop. Yeah. No, it's like, let's throw every man under the bus and use the term man only when we don't like something.
Here's part of the deal. The problem here, if I could just stand up for men, is the airline seats used to be 19 inches wide in the 90s. Now they're as narrow as 16 inches. Here's Melanie Lieberman, a travel expert with some tips on how to sit in an airplane seat.
The first thing you should do is absolutely communicate with the passenger next to you. Try to make sure that they understand that they're encroaching on your space. You paid for that seat. Yep. That is your seat. And if that is not successful, if the passenger isn't listening, you should absolutely feel like you can involve a flight attendant.
Yeah.
Ask if there's another seat available.
Now, if you're the man, is it okay to communicate in advance, hey, I'm a big guy, and this seat is 16 inches. I got my legs are going to be moving over here.
I can't imagine
your
trying
area.
To squeeze into 16 inches and sit comfortably. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine that.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession. Capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. You've heard of the major lake effect snowstorm that hit downwind areas of the Great Lakes, Erie, and Ontario. Well, Orchard Park, New York, just south of Buffalo, had over 77 inches of snow. That's taller than most people stand. The good news is that this event ends tonight with a change in wind direction, and the outlook for Thanksgiving is thankfully warmer. Sunny, no more wind chills in the 20s, daytime highs approaching 50 in areas that are not snow-covered. Meanwhile, thunderstorms in South Florida with rain in the Gulf coastal states. Otherwise, tranquil weather for pre-Thanksgiving travel. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser with weather reports at 6 and 36 past every hour only on Sterling on Sunday.
Coming up on Florida Stories, 3 big idiots, 2 fake Nazis, and 1 handsome host. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
This is Vila Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Playboy model, cemetery, Halloween. What could go wrong? Strippers on the loose later. Sterling at night. This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Black Friday shopping tips. Avoid punches. Later, people of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Wow. Can't wait for that one. Dan Gaffney here.
Becky Gaffney.
In for Sterling on Sunday. We're having a great time. We do actually take your phone calls. We're going to prove it, hopefully. 888-688-WALT. If you're just tuning in, you've missed an exciting first hour of the program. From the Sick Center here in the Sewing Center, we've got the lozenges,
oh, my word.
The throat tea. We have the toilet paper roll that we're using for tissues,
yes,
here at our house.
We've run out.
Does anybody else use that in their house? Instead of having a box of tissues, just use a roll of toilet paper.
I mean, you know, when you get desperate, what are you going to do?
That's the way it goes.
And a pile of tissues next to us.
And I think we're going to be over it just in time for Thanksgiving.
Boy, do I hope so.
Bill, you are on the Walter Sterling Show talking about Thanksgiving. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Dan.
Hi.
I usually talk to you in the morning, but here I am at night, and here you are.
What a great, great thing it is that you've called me. Bill is calling from my home station in very exciting Delaware. You are in southern Delaware near Georgetown, Delaware, home of Return Day. A great American celebration. What about Thanksgiving, Bill? What are you doing?
Well, this year, I'm cooking as I normally do, you know, now at this point in my life. And I've been doing it since I first got married, anyway. But when I was a kid, actually, it's the turkey, the sage stuffing, and the sweet candied sweet potatoes,
my favorite,
green bean salad, succotash, you know, and
I can't. I have to break from you when I hear candied sweet potatoes. But everything else, you know, it's to each his own.
Well, you're the savory guy. I like the sweet. I can't help myself. I love the candied sweet potatoes.
All right, you get along smashingly with my wife, Bill.
Well, you know, the cranberry sauce, but the one thing that I do that's, you know, really enjoyed is the rutabaga in my potatoes.
Ooh, rutabaga. How many people are you cooking for, Bill?
Actually, just two this year.
Just two?
So just two.
How big of a turkey did you get?
13 pounds.
13 pounds. 13-pound turkey.
There's something... There's something nice.
Well, I'll freeze half of it after it's done.
Can I just say there's something nice as I sit here and listen to Bill talk about this. There's something nice about being on Sunday night on some of the biggest radio stations in the country, across the country, nationwide, and listen to what Bill is making on Thanksgiving, you know, with the candied sweet potato. It's just something nice about it. I don't know. It's nice to hear
but
you.
The real thing is, when I was a kid, we moved to Delaware when I was 9 months. But on Thanksgiving, we would either go to Long Island, or my uncle and my grandparents and all would come down to our place. And I remember watching the trade centers go up.
Yeah. Oh, you mean go up, not down?
In the 60s, 70s, early 70s, they were going up.
Right.
And that was really a sight, being a teenager, you know, going through the Verrazano Bridge and Goethals Bridge and bumpity bump. The same potholes are still there, Jim. The same potholes.
Save a piece of pie for us.
Listen to this.
What?
Listen to this. One trip, we were going and to get onto the Goethals Bridge. It is a real sharp, rounded ramp. And we were in the center lane. And a Frank's soda truck was in the left lane. And when he hit that bump, the sodas cut loose. It was the old open-sided soda trucks.
Wow. And it came flying out?
And they cut loose. And they just went all the way across. My dad got over in the left real fast and followed. And you going across the bridge, you could see cars being pulled over with flat tires.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, wow. Bill, yeah, thanks for calling. Thank you for calling Sterling on Sunday.
Happy Thanksgiving, Bill.
Yeah. And then there was a truck with beans.
You can't make me laugh. I'm going to cough.
Because that was a Frank's
beans
truck.
Beans and Frank's.
And then the beans.
Beans and Frank's.
And the beans truck crashed in front of the Frank truck. So they had the beans above the Franks.
How'd they get the beans above the Franks?
I don't know. It was a flat tires everywhere. Mm-hmm. Hey, Bill, you rock. Thank you for calling Sterling on Sunday. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. All right. Sterling on Sunday. Talking a little Thanksgiving. We'll be back, and we'll tell you which non-alcoholic beer is the best of all non-alcoholic beers.
According to you.
Of course. There is no better authority.
Than you.
We'll be back in a moment. This is Sterling on Sunday.
A premium sheet set. Premium sheets made out of Giza cotton for $29.98. How do you get that? You have to know one thing. My name, Walter. You call 800-844-0876, 800-844-0876, 800-844-0876, and you find out about the Giza Dream Sheet Set. 100% long staple cotton. The colors include purple, cream, gray, dark green, light green, sea foam, red. The red sheets will get everybody very excited. I promise you, here's the phone number. Call them right now. Call them right now. Right now. Because tomorrow you're not going to do it. You're going to get all busy. You're going to worry about Thanksgiving. Do it now. Give yourself a gift. Give yourself a break before the holidays that you deserve something special. You deserve to slip into Giza Dream Sheets. Here's the number. 800-844-0876. And say, Walter, and the price drops to $29.98. Never been lower. $29.98 for a set of sheets. Pillow, top sheet, bottom sheet. Like, whoa. And the secret is that the My Pillow Giza Dream Sheets, the bottom sheet fits. You don't have to fight for it. It fits. You put it on that bed, you got a five-star quality bed. You bring guests over, they'll go, boy, this guy's doing really well. They're doing okay if they're getting sheets like this. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Here's the number. 800-844-0876. And say, Walter, and the price drops to $29.98. My Pillow Giza Dream Sheet Set.
Sterling on Sunday.
I am terrible with money, and I have told you that many times. And now my bride is getting nervous that although I can make a few bucks like you, it seems to disappear instantly. I don't know where it goes, but I know I had better fix it, and I know it's my responsibility to fix it. I mentioned this on the air 2 weeks ago, and my friend Jared Dillian called me up and said, Walter, what are you talking about? I told you how to deal with money. I told you exactly what to do. I wrote it down for you, Walter. You'd better start doing it, and he did. He wrote a free guide to money. You can get it at jaredradio.com. jaredradio.com. You're going to get a free booklet that I understand, and I'm an idiot with money. This helps me get out of trouble. jaredradio.com. Go there, get the free booklet, and get out of trouble. jaredradio.com.
They go and try to find the deals. So the day after Thanksgiving, they get up at 2 a.m., they stand in line, and Walmart is one of the favorite destinations. And more often than not, we end up hearing a story about a fight at a Walmart over a bargain. Couple of tips. Don't throw punches. No matter how much you're tempted, don't throw punches. Also, beware of people with children. A lot of parents bring little kids to distract you and use them as pieces of sympathy. So the value's there. There's one thing left on the shelf. How do you handle it? You body block them. Don't throw punches. Elbows work really well, primarily because of winter coats. You can throw an elbow, and it doesn't look like a punch. And if they throw a punch at you, they go to jail. Remember this, the values at Walmart are some of the best you could ever find. Everyday savings. If you take on Black Friday, watch my tips. No fighting, no kicking, no biting. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool for Sterling at Night.
If you ever see me taking my kids to Walmart on Black Friday, shoot me.
I probably would, because we don't go out on Black Friday. It's just nonsense.
Wow. That sounds terrible, what happens. Good advice, though, about the elbowing and the heavy coat.
Really? Is that good advice? Do you ever think that Black Friday deals or any deals could be worth acting like such a moron? And like it's just such the hype is ridiculous. Yeah. I don't understand it. I never
Something
have.
Else that we don't teach the kids.
To elbow people instead of punching them? Block them with your coat?
No, there's just this mass consumerism.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of cool when you ask the kids. I think it's cool when you ask the kids, what do you want for Christmas? And they go, oh, I don't know. I'm okay.
I would like this series of 1,000-page books. Or can I have the Iliad and the Odyssey? And,
yeah,
you know, things
simple,
like that.
Simple stuff.
Simple things. Or things like musical instruments.
You know what I think has a lot to do with that? And I've learned this over the years as the kids grew up. I think the fact that we don't watch television.
Yeah.
There's no television in our house. That's another weird fact that a lot of people think is crazy. Wait a minute. You're married. That's weird to some people today.
Maybe. It's weird that I'm married to you. Is that what you're saying?
Okay. You're married. You have 8 kids and no television. Now we know why you have 8 kids. That was usually the joke.
You know, that's what people would say when we did have a television, so it didn't matter.
Right. But I just think you know, we stay away from all the advertising.
I am going to say one thing, though, that, you know, speaking to that is that there are things that we do, you know, get on Amazon or things that we'll get on a computer for the kids to watch. And I really am having a problem now with the fact that so many of those things that you think you can go and watch without all the consumerism there. Everything's got an ad now and it's popping up and. Mm. You know, the bigger kids are muting things when they come on. So,
okay.
I don't like that. I don't like that because it does pull it in.
All right. I do want to talk about non-alcoholic beer tonight.
Much more important topic.
Because the World Cup made news, even though Budweiser is one of the sponsors in the Muslim country of Qatar, or as the news people say, Qatar.
I know you have a huge problem.
I have a problem with the pronunciation of Qatar.
As Qatar, yes.
I refuse to say Qatar.
Well,
I think it's ridiculous.
But also, when you say it, you're kind of
Qatar.
Right, you're saying it very harshly. You're not saying it like other people pronounce it.
Shouldn't you put the emphasis on the tar? In other words, it's Qatar. Yes,
but
it's Qatar. Listen to how Google pronounces the country. This isn't even the topic.
No.
The topic is non-alcoholic beer. We'll get to that, but you got me going here because I do have a problem.
I know. You do.
Here.
Qatar.
See? That's Google. That is Google, the number one information source on the planet.
Right, and Google's never wrong.
Here's what they say.
Okay.
Qatar.
Qatar. Right? Here's the British pronunciation.
Qatar.
Qatar.
You know,
they don't say the R. It's Qatar.
When Thomas was little, that's Qatar. How he said guitar. He said Qatar.
The American pronunciation?
Qatar.
Okay. No Qatar.
Why are they saying Qatar?
Because they're not Google? I don't know. Are you
That's more of the Arabic sort of gutter. I think people who have been stationed there, I've talked to Air Force people who have been stationed in this nation.
Okay.
And they kind of say gutter. It sounds like gutter. Gutter. But Also,
can we talk about the beer now? Because
also,
we're getting well, you're not going to get anywhere with this. It's just you're going to go in circles.
There are people who are listening to the Sterling on Sunday program
who know how to pronounce this
that
word.
That might have
that
something
might
to say about it.
More of an authority than Google.
Yes.
Okay.
888-688-WALT. I'll take some advice on it. 888-688-9258.
I think I have some advice. Just chill out
but
a little
for
bit.
For years, it's been Qatar.
I know.
And now, you know, in Qatar.
Okay.
Come on.
It bothers you so much.
Stupid.
So much.
Don't say Qatar.
Okay. I'm not saying it. Why are you yelling at me?
I'm saying to the people in that country.
Okay.
Stop saying it that way. I'm saying
to the people. Well, the people in our country are saying it that way. So
just get with the Qatar already.
This is bad as arguing over how you pronounce charcuterie board.
Well, seriously, this is a big issue with me.
All right, talk about the beer.
The Budweiser will not be sold. You know, they don't drink over there. They don't like alcohol. And they were going to allow fans to buy beer. Mm-hmm. And Budweiser is like a major sponsor of the World Cup, FIFA World Cup. And then the country says, no, we're pulling a fast one on you like a couple of days before this starts. Oh,
you remember
how we said you kind of would kind of like to allow you guys to have beer here? We're not allowing that anymore. Ha ha. But you can still buy Bud Zero, which is a non-alcoholic beer. I've not tried that one, but you know how I'm a big fan of non-alcoholic beers.
Huge fan. You're a non-alcoholic.
I stopped drinking actual alcohol back when George Bush was the president,
mm-hmm.
and that's not a political statement.
No,
I'm just saying.
You remember it because of the timing.
Because of the timing, and I stopped drinking and haven't had a drink since. But I do love, are you ready for the number one?
The number one.
And this is not an ad, they're not an advertiser?
No.
It's a complete free plug. Heineken Zero.
And you drink it like water.
It's 0.0 alcohol, and it tastes, to me, exactly like I remember beer tasting. Exactly. And it's so real that, and it has 0.0 alcohol. Some of the non-alcoholic beers is zero, you know, like 0.5 or something.
Yeah, they're like a kombucha.
Trace of alcohol. There's no alcohol. It's in the green bottle. It looks like a Heineken.
Does it just make you feel fancy?
No. Listen, if I'm driving in the car and I have one in the car, because you're allowed it, it's
not
beer.
Yeah.
But I hide it. It's so realistic that I think, oh, I don't want the cops to see me. I don't want the cops to see me.
Don't put any Christmas lights on your car. Or they'll get you for sure.
And I have the 0.0, and I kind of like don't want people to see me at an intersection.
I wish people could see you right now pantomiming how you
secretly
drink the beer in your old man car.
That's how I have to hide it.
Right.
And I once took some into the office.
Oh, my word.
To drink at the office. And that made me feel terrible as well. Even though there's nothing wrong with it, it's no different than drinking anything else. But it was
I don't know.
It was so realistic.
It's so realistic because of the way that the bottle says 0.0 right on it. Like if anybody sees you drinking that in the office, they're gonna say, "Dan, are you drinking a beer?" Oh no, I'm drinking a Heineken Zero.
Right. Habib, you're on Sterling on Sunday. Can you help me with the pronunciation of this wonderful country that is hosting the World Cup?
How you doing? Nice to join you guys. It's actually, you're really spot on. It's Qatar, but it's you got to put an H at the end of it. It's Qatar.
Qatar.
No, Habib.
Qatar, there you go. You guys are spot on. And
listen,
thank you for, you know, being very diversified, and we really appreciate that. You know,
I'm trying to be diverse. Listen, where are you from, Habib?
I'm from the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area.
Okay. So why do the elite media people say Qatar? Have you noticed?
Frankly, they just don't care, you know. I don't know why they wouldn't take the time to get the proper pronunciation. It's not that hard. It's not rocket science.
Qatar.
He's doing the Scottish R on the
sorry.
End of that.
I went a little hard on it.
A little hard on the
R. Went a little
R.
hard on it.
Bagpipes are playing in the background.
Qatar.
His Scottish is showing.
Yeah, there you go. Qatar.
Qatar.
Qatar. You can give it a little H. You give it a little H, a little A, and a little roll with the R, and there you go. You're perfect. You're right in.
All right, man. Thanks, Habib.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, guys.
Sterling on Sunday. See?
But you were wrong about how you were pronouncing it,
but
too.
But did you hear how he said?
Thank they don't you. Care. Yes.
They don't care.
Yeah.
Thank you for being diverse or care enough. That's why I was so passionate
I know,
about it.
But you know what
because
I almost
they
think?
They don't care.
I almost think
they.
That they, I mean, if three people in the same network are saying the exact same thing, they're saying this is the pronunciation, pronounce it this way. Somebody has to be doing that. Somebody has to be checking it.
Yes.
And checking it incorrectly, right?
Right.
Okay.
So if I was in, say it.
I'm not going to say it because I'm going to sound Qatar.
There you go. If I was there, I'd be having a non-alcoholic brew, and I'd be very happy. Dan and Becky Gaffney for Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Jerry Springer.
Well, Jerry, can you hear me? I can't hear anything.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. From the interesting weather facts file, yesterday was the wettest day in Seattle weather records history. It has rained 95 years out of the last 128 years. That's roughly 74% record of rain on the 19th of February. Now, yesterday was dry, so is today and tomorrow, but rain coming up on Tuesday. The West as a whole is pretty dry, though. Clear skies will produce scattered frost through the Sacramento Valley overnight. Sunny days through Thanksgiving, though, with high temperatures into the 60s. Las Vegas a tad breezy at times, with highs also in the 60s. That's pretty normal for late fall. This is Dr. Dave Iser, meteorologist, for your weather reports at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Thank you. You're so nice. For our first Florida Story, we're going to Naples, and in one of the 6,000 nail salons that is in the Naples area, a typical middle-aged Florida woman was getting her nails done, and then it was time to get her feet done, and moving from one massage chair to another, she slipped, and the heel went through the side of the massage chair, busted through the fabric, and then her foot got stuck in part of the machinery that does the massaging. She couldn't get it out. They had to call the fire department to come cut her out of this massage chair. Luckily, the woman will be okay, and the salon was nice enough to not charge her for the extra exfoliation.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we have a trio of Florida men who have an interesting nationwide operation based out of Miami. That's basically a theft ring, but there's an importing, exporting component to it. So $9 million worth of merchandise were stolen in this ring over the last year. And what product are they dealing? Is it drugs? Is it guns? Is it jewels? No, it's meat. They've got this sort of Gone in 60 Seconds operation where these guys will go out to middle of nowhere in Nebraska, drive off with three tractor trailers with stolen steaks in it valued at $500,000 per truck, and they've got it down to a science. I guess this would be sort of the modern day version of a cattle rustler, you know, after they're already processed. But I say we throw the book at them, don't you be messing with my steaks. And I would also like to point out that you don't see an international theft ring where organized masterminds are stealing millions of dollars worth of veggie burgers. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Thanksgiving weekend. Avoid the strip clubs. Warning coming. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Dan Gaffney.
And Becky Gaffney.
In for Walter Sterling, live from the Cold and Lozenge Studios. Do these really work? These are...
I have no idea. So I couldn't...
Elderberry.
But I couldn't get my regular elderberry because things have been kind of crazy right now, and I couldn't do it. So I ordered these elderberry lozenges, and I think they're basically... You know, said they were organic. I think they're basically organic sugar, and they're, you know, just got a little elderberry in them to make them purple candy.
Here's
basically
what my wife is talking about. I am unconvinced, and I am a natural eater. And I believe in natural remedies. But I'm unconvinced, not because you're wrong, but I'm unconvinced. I'm not convinced that the elderberry does anything. Okay. In other words, we have to go, we have for the last couple of years driven to this farm, friend of yours?
Water Girl Farms.
Okay. We have to drive out way out in the country,
out there, over
the river and through the woods to this farmhouse.
It takes like 6 minutes way down to get there the lane. From where we are.
We
got to
drive out there to buy these elderberries that I guess fell off of an elderberry tree.
She grows them and she puts together a mix of elderberries and spices. Yes, it's in a plastic bag. What do you want her to put it in?
And they have this great farmhouse thing that I love, where if you're getting eggs from the farm or something, they put it in a box on the porch, and you put the money in a jug.
I like how you say jug and box.
You put the money in a jug because they don't have to be home.
Right.
So you put the money in the jug.
It's very farm front.
Open the box and just take your stuff and go.
Right.
That's the way it works out here in Delaware. I like it. But anyway, so we've gone out there
and I
get elderberry, and then you bring it home, and there's this whole process
of making
syrup. In the kitchen of making syrup.
Yeah, is that what syrup. It is? Syrup, or syrup, as you like to say.
And then what happens?
It's a mixture of what she puts together and the honey with all the herbs and spices and things in there that you need. And then you take a little here and there. And I would like for you to notice, though, that we did not have it this year because, again...
Sounds like it, too.
Crazy. It sounds like it. We sound awful. And I think things are worse because we're not taking it. It's, you know, boosts your immunity.
Willing to hear from someone if elderberry syrup is a thing that you also try and use.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know your results. We can do like a lab test right here.
I'm not feeling these little candies, though. I don't think that they were. I think they're basically just, it's like sucking on a cough drop or something, you know,
right.
Like one of those little red ones.
I like how they call it Sambucus, like it's a Sambuca.
Sambuca?
Which is a liquor.
I don't know. I think, isn't there like Sambucol that like is the same thing?
I have no idea.
Okay, I don't know.
888-688-WALT, though there's someone out there that is probably an expert on the elderberry, 888-688-9258.
I'm going to ask you why you say you're not convinced that it works when you actually take it. Do you just take it because it's yummy?
Well, I take it hoping that it would work. I take it hoping that it works, but I've never seen any direct results from it.
You know, okay.
You know what I mean?
I mean, that my direct results right now with not taking it are all of these tissues that are laying around us. And my lovely voice that I have right now.
One other item on the non-alcoholic beer also that I wanted to mention is how strange the liquor laws are. This is a 0.0 drink, no alcohol in it. But in New York State, I was there recently and bought some. I had to show an ID to get it. I saw there's no alcohol. You know, and she says, ID, please. And I go, this is not alcohol.
You had it. She ID'd you?
Yeah.
Because you look like you might be under 21.
It's some kind of
also,
law.
So can we?
It's some kind of law when I was in New York State that they ID
what
everybody.
On earth?
They ID everybody. Yeah.
That's insane.
And
I mean, I can't. What in the world?
Apparently, they ID everyone. I don't live in New York State, but apparently they ID everyone. And... they also ID you even if you're not buying alcohol.
If wait,
you know, this is a non-alcoholic drink.
So, but this wasn't a liquor store, right? This was like a regular store, because where we are in Delaware, you have to go to a special store to buy
it. It was,
liquor.
You know, I don't know if we can mention brand names, but, you know, it was a Walgreens.
Okay.
And that's where it happened. So then, in Delaware, where we live, that's a state, by the way, if you don't know. It's actually one of one of the states.
Delaware?
They, you have to go to a liquor store to buy it as well. I have yet to see it anywhere. They don't sell beer anywhere except an actual liquor store, okay? So you cannot pick up beer at a convenience store or a grocery store, and you can't even get the non-alcoholic beer that I've seen, not in the, you know, the low-rent grocery stores I go to. They don't have it. You have to go to the actual liquor store to buy it.
Well, they don't carry it in any of the grocery stores, not even the nicer grocery stores.
I'm
yeah, okay. Because
well, I would know about the nicer grocery stores.
Yes, you would. You stop. You're the one who doesn't like to go to the cheap stores because they're not as close.
Dan and Becky Gaffney going to Kent on the line. Thank you for calling Sterling on Sunday, Kent.
Absolutely. Hey, friend of mine who was had horrible pneumonia, had horrible pneumonia, small town southwest Missouri. Basically, a friend of his heard he was he wasn't expected to make it. They were just saying, this guy's not going to make it out of this horrible pneumonia. They gave a bottle of this elderberry syrup to this guy's wife, and small town, she basically called some favors with some nurses she knew were on duty and says, please, please, please get a couple teaspoons of this in him.
Right.
I promise you, he walked out of the hospital 3 days after he took it.
See, there you go.
walked out of the hospital.
Right there from Kent.
The man is now 84 years old. I've known him since I was 7 or 8 years old, and I'm in my seventh decade as well.
Wow,
so I've known
amazing.
Him since I was 7 or 8 years old, and he was a high school classmate of my brother. So I mean, I've just known the man, respected the man. Whatever he tells me is right, and I had heard from other folks that he'd had horrible pneumonia and was not expecting to make it, but he took this. And by the way, there's a term called taxonomy. Within the animal kingdom, Homo sapien means us. Within the animal kingdom, or plant kingdom, Sambuca is a genus, and then the species is the second word.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, once you finally get down all the way to about 8 levels in taxonomy in the plant side, like say Sambuca, whatever the species is, it's just specifically elderberry of that.
I got you.
Well, there you go.
Lineage.
Like and, I mean, Sambuca
and if there was elderberries. A cousin of it, you know, it all. If there was a cousin of that particular elderberry, it also would be Sambuca, and it's something a little different.
Understood.
Got it.
Very good. What did you do for a living, Kent?
I was an agronomist, which means a guy that studies
of the soil,
the science
study
of crop production, and also if you do that, you might if you have to choose to work out for what's called a collegiate crop staging team, you learn genus species of about 300 different plants, diseases, seeds, whatever, and those are the same types of qualifications that a great USDA grain grader has to know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've got pretty good background. Simple as that. Yeah, I'm a college grad.
So do you take elderberry syrup then, Kent?
Would you take this?
I promise you,
syrup?
I have some in my refrigerator ready to go.
There
and if
go.
I feel anything funky about my throat, I take some of that
there
stuff.
There you go.
And
see, and this is why we're in
it
this
has
situation.
A little bit of bite to it. Yeah, it it looks like pancake syrup. It pours like pancake syrup, but it has a little bit of bite to it. You would definitely not put it on your pancake. Whatever that bite is, works. I promise you.
Great
Maybe it's
call.
Just coating your vocal cords. I don't know, but it truly works.
Thank you, Kent. Great. I'm good to hear that your friend walked out of the hospital. Great call from you. Thank you for calling Sterling on Sunday. That was a good call. That's Becky Gaffney. I'm Dan Gaffney. This is Sterling on Sunday.
This is the time of year where you might be having people coming over to your house, maybe to spend a night or two. Do you want them to get into that bed with the ratty old sheets you got at your wedding? No, you want them to get into a bed that makes them go, whoa, they're doing pretty good. These sheets feel amazing. They feel like a five-star hotel. Whoa, what are the deal with the sheets? They're Giza Dream Sheets. And they're only available from MyPillow. Giza Dream Sheets are made with Giza cotton. These are an ultra-dense weave. You slip into that sheet and you instantly feel like luxury. The people who slip into those sheets, who get under those sheets, your friends, your neighbors, your relatives who are spending the night in your house, they're going to think, they're doing really well. They must be doing really well to afford sheets like this. This feels incredible. And look at the colors. Red, green, seafoam, pure white, cream, the beautiful colors. To me, the best thing about the Giza Dream Sheets, which you can only get at 800-844-0876, the best thing about the Giza Dream Sheets is that the bottom sheet fits right on the mattress. You don't have to arm wrestle the sheet on. It fits right on the mattress without 10 of your kids sitting on the bed. Fantastic. You put in my name, Walter. The price drops to as low as $29.98. If you put in the name Walter, say to the operator, Walter, it drops to $29.98. For Giza Dream Sheets, the best sheets you can possibly buy. What's that number again? It's 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Right now, there's a real human being, not some robocall, waiting to chat with you and answer every question that you have. 800-844-0876. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets.
It's one of the busiest times of year for the jiggle joints. It's called Thanksgiving weekend. Here's some warning signs. The girls know that men are flush with cash. They are at the strip club to avoid going shopping with their girlfriends and wives. And then there are the gentlemen who are freshly off the divorce, in their early 40s, nowhere to go for Thanksgiving except for the inviting confines of a joint with naked ladies. Enterprising exotic dancers know all about this. These ladies know you are in a place in your life that makes you vulnerable to giving them big money. Be careful. Thanksgiving weekend, the jiggle joints not only take in huge tips, they also come up with scams. Now, the establishment itself may not be participating in the scam directly, but trust me, the bartender, the waitress, and the dancers are working in cahoots to try to max out your card. Whenever you go to an exotic dancing emporium, never, ever pay with American Express, especially your company's American Express. There are stories over and over again about all of a sudden a guy gets his statement at the office and it's $17,000 for a night at an exotic dancing emporium. Cash only. Never give your Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express at a jiggle joint. These people are not to be trusted. Bring only cash. Some holiday tips. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose for Sterling at night.
The moral of the story, don't go at all. Stay away.
Unless the jiggle joint is actually the cranberry sauce you're reaching for across the table. That would be my suggestion.
That's the jiggle that you need to go for.
You want to see some skin, go work on that turkey.
It's time for Choose Your News. Round two tonight.
That's me. I get to choose.
All right. Would you like to hear Elon Musk tell his employees they have to come into the office?
I think that's a good idea.
News item that's, number one.
That one's doing okay.
Or
so
would you, I'm still offering
I
this
know,
one up.
I know, I hear you.
Would you like to hear what is the new number one single, music single, in all of music history this week?
No, I would not. I would like to hear Elon Musk tell people to get off of their tails and work. That's what I want to hear.
Such a teaser. Everyone knows noted rich guy Elon Musk bought Twitter, and he's shaking the place up. That's what happens when a new boss comes into town. And here he is, recorded during a phone meeting, telling people who are working remotely to get your tail back into the office.
Good for him.
All right, let me bring this up. I have the audio. I'm thinking somebody else is going to play it.
Get off your tail and do the work, Dan. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I don't even know if I... Oh, here it is. I have it right here. Don't panic, everyone.
No one's panicking except for you.
Yeah, because I'm the guy at the controls.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Elon Musk.
People do not return to the office when they are able to return to the office. They cannot remain at the company. End of story.
Why is our leadership trying to increase attrition rate if we are already understaffed and barely able to keep things running?
I'm not trying to increase attrition. I think we are not understaffed. I think we are overstaffed. That is my opinion, which you're welcome to disagree with. Basically, if you can show up at an office and you do not show up at the office, resignation accepted. End of story.
If you don't show up, resignation accepted. End of story.
I'm just going to say. He's right. I think he is. And I think he could be overstaffed. And once everyone's in the office and actually doing things, and you can see that they're not, you know, liking somebody's Facebook posts all day when they're working remotely, you know what they're doing. And you have a little more control.
You're right. You cannot buy a big company and make decisions on the effectiveness of the employees if they're not even in the office.
Right. You have to see them. And I have seen people take way too much advantage now that everyone is working remotely of working remotely. And it drives me absolutely nuts when they're in the middle of the day. I know what they're doing because they're communicating with me.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. You've heard of the major lake effect snowstorm that hit downwind areas of the Great Lakes, Erie, and Ontario. Well, Orchard Park, New York, just south of Buffalo, had over 77 inches of snow. That's taller than most people stand. The good news is that this event ends tonight with a change in wind direction, and the outlook for Thanksgiving is thankfully warmer. Sunny, no more wind chills in the 20s, daytime highs approaching 50 in areas that are not snow-covered. Meanwhile, thunderstorms in South Florida with rain in the Gulf coastal states. Otherwise, tranquil weather for pre-Thanksgiving travel. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser with weather reports at 6 and 36 past every hour only on Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. For our next Florida story, we're going to Pinellas County, where a married couple who are motorcycle enthusiasts, bikers, have long been advocates for the right to not wear a motorcycle helmet when they're on their bikes. And after decades of political advocacy, they're headed to a memorial service for another biker who had recently died. They were in an unfortunate accident, and both the husband and wife were killed. Neither was wearing a helmet. Dude, it's a beautiful story. It's almost a romantic way to go. You know, this is probably how they would prefer it if they could have checked out of a Scantron test, which exit they wanted to take from this world. This is probably what they would have chose. This is probably going to be a Netflix movie. I think that's beautiful. I think that's romantic and very Florida. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we're going to Weston, Florida. Weston, Florida is way, way off in the boonies, kind of in the Miami, Fort Lauderdale area. It's new, it's nice, it's clean, it's fairly affluent. If you're spray painting swastikas on the big plastic safety slide at a children's playground in sweet little soft suburban Weston, it would help if you knew how to draw a swastika. I'm guessing these aren't the most polished Nazis in the world, because some of the swastikas are actually correct. Some of them have the arms bending the wrong way. Some of them are completely backwards. Like, they did them both ways. And I don't think they even know what the hell a swastika is supposed to look like. You think I'm making it up? Here's a local 10.
Neighbors in a Weston neighborhood shocked this morning, waking up to anti-Semitic and racist messages spray painted in various places around a playground for kids within the Hunters Point gated community.
I actually worry that this is going to escalate.
Oh, Channel 10, calm down. You sound ridiculous. Of course he's not a real Nazi. He doesn't even know how to draw a swastika. I know it's a slow news day in Weston, but if you'd read a history book, you'd see the real Nazis didn't start their quest for world domination by vandalizing a child's plastic slide.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Something I've always wanted to ask at this time of day on the radio is, where are you and what are you doing?
I'm in my sewing room eating Sambucas.
888-688-WALT. Where are you and what are you doing? In other words, Dan Gaffney here.
Becky Gaffney here.
Filling in for Walter Sterling. Sterling on Sunday. And obviously past midnight on the East Coast, late at night on a Sunday on the West Coast. And where are you and what are you doing right now? Right now, what are you doing? I know this isn't an important question, and it's probably a difficult thing to accomplish because we're asking people to call a radio show with two strangers, right?
After midnight.
After midnight.
On a Sunday.
Yeah.
When they're in their jammies and slippers.
Or driving down some lonely interstate somewhere.
Maybe.
And it's a little weird. I mean, you're asking, I'm asking people to really call for no reason. But let me tell you something, right?
Important market research.
It is important market research. The executives at the Walter M. Sterling Show would pay dearly for this kind of research, you know, where they poll the audience and find out what people are doing, get the demographic information. How do we market to them? What do we say to these people? This is very important information that people pay a lot of money for.
Can we find out what kind of jammies and slippers they're wearing? Because I'm kind of interested to know if they're going Grinch or Hello Kitty.
Right. So where are you and what are you doing? What? You're looking at it's not a compelling question.
I mean, no, I already told you where I am and what I'm doing.
I know. I'm talking to
I know that you are, but what am
to
I supposed
the audience.
You're looking at me and say, you know, and asking me again, where am I and what am I doing? You know where I am and what I'm doing.
888. Here's how you call the show.
Yes.
888-688-WALT, as in Walt Sterling. 888-688-WALT. That's 888-688-9258. All right. And we will attempt to maybe take a call or two.
That'd be great.
I want to know, you know, who is up at this time on this day and what kinds of things are they doing? It's very interesting to me, even if it's mundane to them.
And I want to know.
I don't want to be the guy. There's probably people doing all kinds of crazy stuff out there. I'm just doing something normal. I just want to hear from somebody
doing something normal. I would just like to share
hey,
a visual.
I'm pulling into a Buc-ee's right now to get gas.
I need to share a visual with the audience of what my husband is doing. He's man spreading and driving a giant truck is what it looks like. He's pantomiming.
I'm
driving
pantomiming right
a big
now.
Truck.
Because
he's going to start singing trucker songs in a minute.
That's what I picture.
Exactly.
Come on. Come on and talk to Teddy
See,
Bear.
I knew.
Right?
I knew that's where you were going with that.
I imagine a lot of truckers or people on the road, and they're like, what is the stupid thing I'm listening to on the radio? You know what I mean? I'm imagining people driving. You know, I'm also imagining someone stuck in 77-inch snow drift?
No, that's insane. I can't imagine 77 inches of snow. That's just...
I'm imagining some farmer somewhere milking cows.
What time? You milk cows at midnight
listening
before
to the
you
radio?
Go to bed? I don't think so.
I don't know.
Also, what? You should see the pantomiming of the udders, because apparently they're coming from
two feet
on either side of him.
What I am normally doing is what most... You're the Midnight Misfits, right? That's what Walter Sterling calls his beloved audience, the Midnight Misfits. You're a foreign group to me. I am normally sleeping into deep REM sleep at this time of the day, so I cannot imagine what... What's going on out there?
I can attest to the fact that he's usually snoring very loudly, and he has taken all of the covers as well.
I don't know. I don't know what's happening out there. So that's why I've always wanted to ask this question, right?
Of an audience this late at night.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Late at night, early morning, depending on where you are.
Right.
The question is, where are you and what are you doing? And someone named Rattles is on the phone. Rattles, you're on Sterling on Sunday.
Well, good evening.
Hi there.
I shouldn't say good morning because it's only a little after 8 o'clock here.
Wow.
Where are you, Rattles?
Well, I live in Pleasant Valley, Alaska.
Wow, Pleasant Valley, Alaska.
These names in Alaska
That's right,
are
where
fantastic.
We still wave with all five fingers. Yeah. Most of the time.
So what are you doing right now?
Well, I got done doing a bunch of recording. I do a radio program up here. And I was doing some recording a while ago, and then I just sat down here and loaded up the wood stove.
Nice.
You have a wood stove in your radio station? You have a wood stove at the station?
No, I wasn't at the station.
Oh, you're recording in your house. Okay.
Yes. I have a radio program for 5 years, and I do it all here at my house.
What kind of radio show?
I have over 10,000 records.
Really? What kind of music do you play on your radio show?
Yes.
What kind of music do you play on your radio show?
I play all different kinds.
What's your favorite?
All kinds, but it's got to be really good. And I won't play any Crocodile Rock or Benny and the Jets.
No. I wouldn't either, Rattles. I certainly would not.
Hey, Rattles, we love you, man. Thank you for calling from Alaska. Thanks for calling Sterling on Sunday.
Yeah,
Alex, let's go to
zero,
Alex.
So it's pretty warm.
What's happening? Alex, you're next on Sterling on Sunday. Hello, Alex.
Hello.
Hey, where are you?
I am driving home from my job. I'm a licensed security guard in Albany, New York. I'm driving home to my home in Schenectady, and after a 12-hour shift.
Wow, I'm glad you're listening, and we appreciate it.
This is downtown Albany, New York, and you never know what you're going to see on the street in downtown Albany.
Like what, Alex?
Whether it's a lot of traffic, but there's a lot of homeless people walking by. There's a lot of people walking by who may or may not be on drugs because they talk to themselves and sitting at the top of their lungs and things
like that. Sounds
like
a beautiful place.
They're not dangerous, but they're just different. You know what I mean? So, I actually do patrols, and I've 14-story office building Saturdays and Sundays.
I see.
And sometimes it can be a little mundane, but I love my job, and I'm basically in charge of the building when there's no one there.
I love it. And
so
you're on your way home, and I thank you very much. This is a perfect call. Alex, you have answered the question perfectly. Thank you for calling Sterling on Sunday. That's exactly what I'm looking for. He's a guy, worked a long shift, driving home.
I still want to know what kind of music Rattles does play. I know he doesn't play Crocodile
Rock. He said all kinds, country and Western.
Yes.
Isn't that a joke from...
I don't know.
It's from Blues Brothers.
Okay, so I actually... actually have never seen Blues Brothers.
Yeah, some, I think it's for Blues Brothers. All right, the phone number for this very important question. One more segment of taking calls. Where are you and what are you doing? Where are you and what are you doing? 888-688-WALT. That's 888-688-9258. For Becky Gaffney, Dan Gaffney here. This is Sterling on Sunday.
I think it's time for you to be liberated from that boss, from the company you work for, where you're underpaid, overworked, stressed about whether or not you can commute or not commute or what time you have to be in. This isn't an agricultural landscape we're in. We don't have to till the soil. What we do is we get to have original ideas, and we should get paid for those ideas. And now you can, because now you're going to own your own business. Are you ready? There's a company called Social Indoor, which is a franchise company. And they're offering franchises throughout the country in premium areas. To get the full information, this is not an offering. To get that, you have to get the prospectus, which is for free at their website, socialindoor.com, socialindoor.com. Well, what's Social Indoor? You go into a premium restroom wherever you live, part of a great restaurant, part of a beautiful facility, a public attraction. You go into the restroom. And there, where there's used to be nothing but a mirror, now there's a beautiful, high-quality, high-definition computer screen. And on that computer screen are colorful, beautiful graphics that represent businesses and opportunities in your city, in your area. Well, how did they get on there? You sold them. That's right. You sold them. You went to the people you've had relationships for years, the businesses, the retailers, your contacts, and you finally monetize them and say, hey, listen, I will get you on 100 computer screens in the area, and you will start moving product. You will start getting business into your business. It's called Social Indoor. It's a franchise, and that means you work for yourself. Find out about it. Find out what the investment is. Find out what you can expect to get in return. Social Indoor. Go to the website, socialindoor.com. Socialindoor.com.
Sterling on Sunday.
As Mrs. Sterling will tell you, it's no secret that I'm terrible with money. I'm pretty good at making it, like you, but pretty bad at keeping it, like really bad. And I'm looking at a future where all I have to live on is Social Security, and the pandemic really messed things up. And now I have to recover, get smart, and put some money away in the right places. My friend Jared Dillian, who's been on the show many times, he said to me, why are you having trouble, Walter? I told you what to do. And he went down his list of things that he told me to do. Well, finally, he wrote them down. And he wrote it in a pamphlet that you and I can get for free at jaredradio.com, Jared, J-A-R-E-D, radio.com, jaredradio.com. You put in your name, he will send you a free booklet. No obligation, no follow-up annoyances. You'll get information about how to save your butt financially. jaredradio.com.
I'm J.J. Wilson with a special Don't Try This at Home edition of Drive-Thru Brew. Tonight's guest visitor on the program is clearly a reckless daredevil, and we do not endorse his behavior. Nevertheless, our story begins innocently enough as Jake and the manager discuss the drive-thru's Christmas decorations. Let's listen.
Jake, I've got bad news. You're gonna have to go back up on the roof.
No way.
And redo the Christmas lights.
Forget it. That ladder ain't safe.
Listen, the marketing guy at headquarters says we can only have green, blue, and white lights this year.
What?
I know, it's nuts. He says we should only use the colors in our logo to reinforce brand awareness.
He's an idiot. Let him climb on the roof.
Jake, please.
Just then, by sheer coincidence, this guy showed up.
This hour on the Sterling on Sunday show, where are you and what are you doing? A hard-hitting radio topic, a hard-hitting talk radio expose. Where are you and what are you doing? Yep. In other words, call for no reason. I'm just curious who is up on Sunday night / Monday morning even if it's mundane, I love it. Love connecting with these people. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258.
You were running in the other room to turn the heat up just a couple of seconds ago. It's freezing in here.
Right. We're better here where we are than Buffalo, New York.
Right. 77 inches of snow. I don't know. I think I would enjoy the cold a little more here if it snowed sometimes.
We also are going to do another round of Choose Your News.
Ooh.
Choose Your News, a little game we've been playing tonight. Would you like to hear the number one, the new most successful single in all of music history?
Whatever the other one is, you know I'm going to pick that because I really don't want to hear about that song.
Or would you like to hear about tip baiting?
Oh, boy.
Tip baiting?
Yeah, actually, let's do the tip baiting because then I have a tip story.
Do you understand what tip baiting is?
I don't, but I think maybe that it's the story that I have that I was kind of misunderstanding how this tip thing was happening the other day. Go ahead.
All right. The tipping system for delivery drivers like DoorDash and Uber Eats, rather, and Grubhub and all these things. It's a hot topic, okay? How much do we give? What's typical? What is going on? Here is a driver from a TikTok video explaining tip baiting and how it is hurting delivery drivers of this sort, okay? Here he goes.
One of the worst things that you can encounter as a delivery driver is tip baiting. In these food delivery apps, the customer has the opportunity to reduce or increase the tips after drop-off. Tip baiting is when a customer offers a large tip to get their food faster and then take away the tip at the end. While it's good to protect the customer from having bad service by holding the tip over your head, it leaves a big opportunity to screw over the driver with tip baiting. Unfortunately, there's not really anything you can do to fight it because the customer holds all the power.
Terrible thing to do.
Yeah, that's horrible. And that has nothing to do with what I thought maybe it was.
Yeah, tip baiting. So I could put a large amount on my app, hoping to get faster service or someone to take the order. And then I change it.
I can't even imagine.
After the driver is en route.
Like looking someone in the face and them knowing that you did that to them.
That's
awful.
Worst.
So my tip story is that we pulled up to a window. We had ordered something in a drive-thru. I ordered six of something. We get up to the window, six brownies, and I get up to the window.
Six brownies?
You know where I was, and you know why I got six brownies. So,
for all the
but
kids.
The audience doesn't need to know that. So we go up there, and the woman says, you know, I'm sorry. Out the window, she hands me a tip pad. Like to hit the amount of tip, and it says $1, $2, $3, which I'd never seen at this establishment before. And so I pay, and she's got this. Like, there's no option to choose none in the drive-thru. So it was a tip.
That's new.
So then, you know, you feel forced to give someone a tip. You give them a tip. Then she pulls it back, and she goes, you know what? I'm sorry. We're out. I can give you something else or give you a refund.
Oh, that's the opposite of tip.
So you're
going to
keep
baiting.
The tip, likely, and, you know, and you don't have what I came for and had already said, you know, let me check and make sure I have that because that's what they do. We usually order large amounts because we have a lot of kids.
But they'll also say, it's not my fault they were out. I'm still giving you service.
No, she wasn't giving me service because she was going to, you know, give my money back on the...
And you could have been tipping on the amount of six brownies... And then
there aren't any.
But she had you do the tip first.
Right.
Then told
exactly.
you they didn't have
That's what I mean. That was the weird part. It wasn't like
Dang.
It wasn't like we did it the opposite. Like, how do you not know that there? You said you just went and counted. And then she said, well, no, somebody else got them before you. But I don't see how that's possible if you just counted them and it was my order. So whatever. It was weird. I'd never seen it happen before. And it happened the other day.
It's tip baiting. And tip baiting in reverse. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. Dan Gaffney and Becky Gaffney, you are listening to Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Mr. Beast.
I just bought this house and I'm going to give it to Chandler.
Really?
No!
Sterling.
Dwelling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino, this is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. From the interesting weather facts file, yesterday was the wettest day in Seattle weather records history. It has rained 95 years out of the last 128 years. That's roughly 74% record of rain on the 19th of February. Now, yesterday was dry, so is today and tomorrow, but rain coming up on Tuesday. The West as a whole is pretty dry, though. Clear skies will produce scattered frost through the Sacramento Valley overnight. Sunny days through Thanksgiving, though, with high temperatures into the 60s. Las Vegas a tad breezy at times, with highs also in the 60s. That's pretty normal for late fall. This is Dr. Dave Iser, meteorologist, for your weather reports at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Dan and Becky Gaffney filling in for Walter Sterling.
Qatar.
That's how you say it. Don't forget it.
Is Qatar. It?
Did you put the H on the end?
No,
like
I can't.
Habib told us to do it. Well,
Qatar.
Why don't you say it?
Qatar.
Close.
Qatar.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going to try.
All right. That's Habib in the Bay Area coming on strong tonight with that information. It's great. All right. Another edition of Choose Your News. I've been playing a game with my wife here tonight called Choose Your News. And your next choice, would you like to hear the story of the woman arrested at an airport for having $450,000 worth of cocaine in her wheelchair?
In her wheelchair?
The tires.
That
or
sounds pretty good.
Would you like to hear the story of a new record-breaking song, the certified highest charting single in all of music history, happened this week?
I'm going with wheelchair.
She's shut out the top song.
I have. I don't.
All
I
night
have shut it out.
Long. I'm gonna get it played before the end of the
program.
I get
to choose. If I get to choose, I don't want to hear that one. I don't have to hear that one.
Well,
do I? I'm choosing for the audience,
yeah,
and I have chosen wheelchair, cocaine, tire lady.
I get to choose one myself. That's
seriously?
The rule, and I'll choose that one.
Okay, well, now I know the rule, and I'm not playing the game anymore because you change the rules mid-game.
Isn't it? Yeah, but I teased it all night. The people will want to know, what is
it? It's nice that you gave people a look into our marriage, you know, how you go along in one direction and then just pull
here's
a fast
the,
one on me on the end.
Yeah, pull a fast one.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the story of the TSA arrest.
About 28 pounds of cocaine were seized at JFK Airport after being found in the wheels of a wheelchair. U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers x-rayed the wheelchair after noticing all four wheels weren't turning. The white powder inside tested positive for cocaine. The traveler was from the Dominican Republic and had arrived on a flight from Punta Cana last week. She was arrested.
Wow.
So much cocaine that the wheels wouldn't turn.
28 pounds. So, yeah. A bag of sugar, like a small bag of sugar, is 4 pounds. So that's like 7 bags of sugar in her wheelchair. Wheels, those wheels are tiny. How can that, unless they were like, I don't know, that's weird.
It
I don't
is
even
weird.
See how that can add up. It's not mathing.
Yeah. I'm with you. Doesn't math. Could be fake news.
Strange. Okay.
These are the same people that call that country
Qatar. Gotcha.
Here is the story that you didn't choose.
Okay.
How about that? That's how we'll do it.
That I didn't choose.
Here's the one you didn't choose.
What's behind door number two?
The highest charting certified single in all of music history has been declared by the RIAA. That's the Recording Industry Association of America, I believe is what that is. The song is from Post Malone and Sway Lee. Do you know any of these artists?
I don't. I do know them, but
get
I don't
hip.
Know
Sunflower.
Them.
Sunflower has become the highest charting song, 17 times platinum. Now, when I was 17 times, when I was young, Kiss double platinum. Well, that was a big deal.
You're talking about Kiss, and you just told me to get hip?
No, Kiss. Well, I said back in the day, all right. Kiss double platinum. You were thinking, man, double platinum. Nobody sells that many records. How about 17 times platinum?
Are you going to force me to listen to the song?
Well, yes, of course.
Great, thanks.
Because the audience wants to know what's going on in the pop culture today. Here's a little bit of it. This is, by the way, from the soundtrack of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, Sunflower.
I know you're scared of the unknown. You don't want to be alone. I know I always come and go, but it's out of my control.
I guess.
I don't know.
I'm thinking biggest songs in history. You know, you think Michael Jackson, you think Beatles, you think all these things. Here we are with a new record.
Do you like the song?
I can't say that I do. I can't say that I like it.
Or you can't say that you don't?
I can't say that I like it.
Okay.
Anyway, Post Malone was as stunned as anyone to get the news of the success of the song.
I think that's pretty damn cool. And I wanted to say thank you to Swae Lee. And I'm so honored to be able to have done a song with him. And we got some more on the way, some special stuff. And 17 times platinum is insane. And I wanted to say thank you to everybody who's listening for everything.
That's amazing. And he also says it's one of his favorite songs.
It's so cool to see it impact so many people in so many different ways. And whenever you're happy, it makes you a little happier. Whenever you're sad, it kind of brings you out of that mood. It's I think it's a magical song. And I'm super honored that it's one of the biggest songs of all time.
Nice to hear Posty so happy.
One of the biggest songs of all time. And why am I not hearing it in the grocery store when I'm walking
because
around?
Because you're hearing the Ramones now as Muzak is what you're hearing in the grocery store because right. They have to cater to, you know, the common age of the people that are in the grocery store more. And you're that guy now, honey. You're that guy.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I own it. I own it, but there's a lot of people out there going, you got to be kidding me. That's the biggest song ever, like a new record
song.
It
wasn't horrible, so, you know, I was waiting for something that I really didn't like, but it wasn't horrible.
Here's the deal. Have you heard it?
No.
Okay. Well, how can it be such a huge song and you've never heard it?
I am the wrong person to ask.
Yeah, but wouldn't you hear it at the gas pump? Or at the restaurant, or like I said, the store.
You act like I get out of the house.
Or on TV.
You act like I'm out, like, doing things.
Yeah, I keep her locked up here.
I have all these children. They're homeschooled. Up. We're stuck in the tower here. But I really don't. Like, I don't. I wouldn't turn on a radio station really to hear that. So,
all right.
You know.
There you go. This is Sterling on Sunday.
What is better than slipping into a bed that has freshly made sheets, freshly cleaned sheets that just makes you feel instantly luxurious and wealthy and taken care of? And at this time of year, with all the stress, you and I need to feel taken care of because we don't fit in. We're misfits. We're strange. We fit into these sheets from MyPillow. These are Giza Dream Sheets made out of Giza cotton, which is the greatest, finest cotton in the world. What I really like about the Giza Dream Sheets is two things. One that they never mention, ever. These sheets fit. The bottom fitted sheet slips right over the mattress. You don't have to get 10 kids and the dog to hold it down while you pull it on. No, you will put it on all by yourself without any trouble. No trouble. Call 800-844-0876, 800-844-0876, 800-844-0876. Now, what's the other thing? You say Walter. And when you say Walter, that price will drop to $29.95. $29.95 for a set of Giza Dream Sheets. Oh, my gosh. 800-844-0876 is the phone number. There's somebody there right now. Call them right now. If you're bored listening to me, if you don't want to listen to your spouse, I don't blame you. If you're tired of petting the cat, pick up the phone and talk to somebody. 800-844-0876. Say my name, Walter. That is the only way that you're going to get the discount. 800-844-0876. Say my name, Walter. And enjoy the Giza Dream Sheets for $29.98. $29.98. They're as low as $29.98 if you say Walter.
For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our next Florida Story, we're going to St. Petersburg. And in the last election, history was made. A Florida man becomes the first member of Generation Z to win a seat in Congress. This is the first time someone from Generation Z is eligible to win a seat in Congress. And when asked if he is prepared to properly represent the citizens of his district, the first Generation Z congressman from Florida said, "Bet, when I get to D.C., I'll be like a pro and not a skinless noob. No cap. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we have a beautiful vortex of cosmic justice. We're going back to Pinellas County. What we have here is a case of Florida road rage. It's the classic beginning. Someone cut someone else off. 29-year-old Florida man gets quite irate and vocalizes his displeasure to the motorist as he pulls up next to him. Noticing his rival's complexion, the 29-year-old Florida man makes some references to the man's race that most people do not consider flattering. And so then they do that delicate Florida dance where they take turns cutting each other off and flipping each other off and calling each other names and screaming. And finally, they both pull over. And this is not going to go the way the 29-year-old Florida man thinks it's going to go, because even though the dude is in a minivan with his wife and kids, it turns out this guy who looks like a nerd happens to be a mixed martial artist. And the black husband, father, ninja, did not appreciate the racial slurs and Nazi salutes that were coming from the irate motorist that he was having to share the road with. And so he promptly kicks his butt, puts him in some weird chokehold that I don't even know what it's called, until the cops show up. So yes, beautiful, sweet Florida justice. Touchdown right there and on the side of the highway in unincorporated Pinellas County. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
This concludes today's episodes of Florida Stories. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
So there were two music stories that made the news. We gave you the one about Post Malone a moment ago. The other was a new record in concert ticket inventory with Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear this? This is how popular Taylor Swift is. Ticketmaster announced, due to extraordinary high demands, they had to shut off ticket sales to her concert. Listen to Greg Mahaffey, the CEO of Liberty Media, one of the owners of Live Nation, and they own Ticketmaster. Tickets went on sale for her tour and had to immediately get shut down. The demand was unexpected and unprecedented. Here is the Ticketmaster guy.
Reality is, it's a function of the massive demand that Taylor Swift has. The site was supposed to be opened up for 1.5 million verified Taylor Swift fans. We had 14 million people hit the site, including bots, another story, which are not supposed to be there. And despite all the challenges and the breakdowns, we did sell over 2 million tickets that day. We could have filled 900 stadiums.
900 stadiums. 14 million people. Absolutely amazing when you think about it. Now, might not be your cup of tea, but you gotta say she is the biggest star
Yeah, she's pretty popular.
In music, right?
Yeah. Did you hear the new album? Do you like the new album?
I haven't heard it.
Okay.
No.
I was sort of forced daughter, by one of our children
yeah,
to
our
hear it.
Oldest daughter likes Taylor Swift.
Yeah, ish, I think. I think she was waiting to hear
She gave the new album
an iffy review. She really did. And I think maybe she listened to it once, like she was looking forward to hearing it, and then that was that. But, I mean, that's one person's opinion, obviously, not all of those people.
Right. So that's the story there with Ticketmaster, and she's upset, obviously, that, you know, they botched her ticket sale deal. So that's what people are listening to. Young people are listening to in their headphones. You see them with the little ear pads.
And
whatever those things are. A new study is out.
Buds.
That says more than a billion young people, that's 1 billion people, are at risk of hearing loss because of all of the earbuds.
Yeah.
Their phone, music,
right.
Movies, at a loud volume and for a long time.
Another thing that drives me crazy, and that's one thing that, like, always in the car with people, don't be trying to walk around putting headphones on. Don't do it. The kids do put headphones on when they do their math so that they're not interrupting the other kids.
The just turned 19-year-old, now with his own money, obviously, just bought these ear things.
Yeah, I've had to remind him multiple times of the rules. Like, you're still here, kid. You're still a kid. Take them out of your ears.
Can you do the parent thing and say, turn it down, turn it down? You know, yell at him, turn it down.
Why would I yell
at him?
It's
too loud. Turn it down.
No, honey.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, 50 years ago.
Global Health Journal estimated that 0.67 to 1.35 billion individuals ages 12 to 34 worldwide likely engage in unsafe listening practices and are at a risk for hearing loss. I said they're at a risk for hearing loss.
I know, I hear you. And you know my ears are clogged from whatever this gunk is in my head. But yesterday we were in the car and this alarm started going off. And I'm like, what is that? That's not like your regular phone sound. And one of the kids said, oh, that's my phone telling me that my music is too loud. Because it was connected to Bluetooth and the music was turned up and had the child have
That's actually a good warning. They say that that's a good thing. Some devices do that. They monitor the level.
Right.
And some alert you when you've been listening too loud for too long.
And do you think they just turn the alarm off and don't listen to that like you did with your parents and have all this hearing loss now?
Yeah, I've worn headphones for my radio career for hours a day at a stupidly loud volume for years. And I remember going to concerts with no ear protection and waking up the next morning and just hear nothing but ringing for hours.
Right.
Like it was so loud, you know,
that
like
your
you're standing by the speakers all night long up front.
You say
home.
This again, everyone knows, and you forget who you're talking to. The
Doesn't
lamest
everybody
human
know this?
In the world who's never stood by a speaker in
well,
the
you're smart
concert.
Because it would
smart or lame, which do you
well,
think it is?
Well, I don't know, dear. I wouldn't say lame. But I can't believe you've never been to a concert that made your ears ring.
I have not. I have been to a couple of concerts where it was like I was in the stands way back seated, like up at, you know, because I was with someone.
But nothing to
I've
say.
Never, and I've never stood by a stage at a concert. I've never done anything like that.
Wow.
No. No.
She's not a young, she's a young woman, but yeah, she's younger than me, but you're a grown woman.
I am a grown woman. Yes, I am.
I was trying to tell the audience. So, several live performances left my head ringing for days.
So I guess I just got lucky because I didn't do all those things. Actually, someone asked me today about if my musical taste was the same as yours, and I think we can both say that definitely, especially when we were younger, no.
Yeah.
No. And it's still not. You make fun of anything.
Thank you very much for being with me tonight, Becky.
Thank you.
And thank you, Midnight Misfits, for putting up with us, filling in for Sterling on Sunday.